You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to McIntyre's Next Level Podcast, a place for entrepreneurs, leaders, and dreamers to awaken and be activated to their full potential. Are you ready to get out of the boat and experience your next level? Here's your host, Michael McIntyre.
Hey, it's Chris Lamb. This is the Money Hole Podcast, and today I'm with my friend Michael McIntyre. Thanks for being with me.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about your show.
All the way from Texas, buddy. Thank you so much for making the time.
Absolutely. 100%.
So Michael, we don't know each other super well. We've been getting to know each other, but you're friends, and you've helped a lot of my friends. And, you know, your bio is so interesting. You know, you help a lot of entrepreneurs right now, and you're a coach, and you've been involved in you know, a business that, you know, built over a $3 billion agency. One of the things that stuck out to me is that you've created over 175 millionaires in your career, and the list goes on. I mean, you have a TV show, you've been involved in a lot of churches and helping build churches. You preach from time to time. And you have kids and a wife, and I don't know how you do it all, man, but that's why I was so excited to have you on. And I think that, you know, you have such an important message for, you know, people that are inside and outside the church right now, because our country's kind of in a, you know, it's in a tough time. So I would love to hear just a little bit more of, you know, what you're doing today and what does the day-to-day look like?
Yeah. So day to day, most of the time we're coaching people, and we have several different coaching programs going on. But I guess the day to day, you know, we're producing shows, we're doing Next Level Experience. We've got a big conference coming up in November. But one of the things that I love to do, I love doing the live events. I really do. And the other thing is the one-on-one coaching. And one of the things that Stacy and I, my wife and I, have been blessed with is helping people make a lot of money. And a lot of people say, McIntyre, you know, why is it so important to make a lot of money? Well, it's like the Good Samaritan wouldn't have been famous if it weren't for money, right? That Samaritan wouldn't have stopped and helped that individual, you know, get a room, food, and take care of their wounds. So we need money, especially in the ministry, especially in the church. We need to have resources so we can bless other people in those resources. So one of my giftings, because I gave my life to Jesus about 14 years ago, coming from the business world, the secular world, it wasn't that I was an evildoer. I just didn't believe. I wasn't a believer. But in that process, we had created quite a few people with a lot of wealth over a period of 25 years. And by doing that, I didn't know that was a big deal until I got into the Christian community. I just thought everybody did that. And that's what they do if you got any kind of savvy about yourself or any kind of giftings about yourself. And so when I got into the Christian community, I think I shared with you before, Lance Wallnau had me come and speak at one of his deals, and a real big sales deal. And he had me speak for 2 hours. And so that's when the Holy Spirit said, this is your tribe, bro. This is where I want you to plow into and take the secular secrets into the Christian community. Because for far too long, a lot of the Christians have been living in the valley. And by doing that, they get that poverty mindset. And so what my wife and I and my team do is get people out of that poverty mentality into a place to where they can be abundant. Or we base everything on John 10:10. You know, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life abundant. And life is our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with our family, our spouse, the church, our pastor. It's our temple. It's what we do with our body on the day, what we eat, how we exercise, how we take care of that. And it's also financial. So we take a holistic approach. And so my day to day is coaching entrepreneurs. We have a 3-day in-house MBA program called McIntyre Business Accelerator, which is where the TV show came from. And so that's an intense, it's for people to have a business anywhere from 500,000 to, you know, 10 million in revenue, but want to accelerate that. And that's what we help them do.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, one of the things that got me into coaching, almost 20 years ago was, you know, I came out of addiction. I shared that with you over the phone, and mm-hmm. I didn't go to college. I was working in the mortgage business. And when I had found the Lord and got sober, I was really struggling in my business. And it wasn't really the money part mm-hmm. as much as everything else. You know, they don't teach you, you know, most schools don't really teach people the day in and day out of running a business, which is why coaching organizations are so helpful. But I didn't get into coaching for the sake of money. I got into it because I needed structure. And when mm-hmm. when I started getting structure in my business and I started adding systems, I found that I gave better service. I actually enjoyed my life better. I didn't work as many hours and the profit went up. And, you know, part of my story, and you touched on this, and there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily people of faith that will listen to this podcast, but I think it's applicable to everybody. Mm-hmm. Part of my story was I grew up in a way where I was poor, at least for America's standards. And my first initial, you know, season in the church, I was around a lot of people that basically said money was bad and to follow God, you got to mm-hmm. be poor. And so that's hard to have that belief when you're in a business and you're trying to learn how to be profitable, because you're constantly having this conflict inside. You know that you can do better, but there's this big thing that's pulling you down. So I think it's really interesting that that's, you know, one of the things you said in our first call, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but taking the secular secrets into the sacred. Mm-hmm. I believe you said that. And I had never heard that before. And yeah. I was like, man, that makes so much sense to me, because there's so many people. I mean, that's what I do here. I mean, so many of my friends that have been in the church, they're excellent people in their field. Like, they're well known. They're super successful. But when it comes to this area of their life, because of, you know, what they believe or what they thought they believe, they really struggle with it. So help me understand, you know, with your coaching program, what are some of the things that you actually do? I'm assuming you guys will go after some of these mindsets.
Yeah, I think one of the key things you said, Chris, is really good, is structure. You know, it's like when you've dealt with your addiction and you started getting structure and you started coaching people, that helped you tremendously. And we all want structure, like our children. They want, you know, they might complain that they got to go to bed at 8 o'clock or they have to take a bath or whatever, but we need structure. We need that rigor. Yeah, we do. That's God, you know, God created that for us. And so, like, there was a study done, and I'll tell you about structure. So this school, an actual study was done, and this school, and they did it at several different schools. On the playground, they had a huge fence, like within, you know, like 100 yards from the school, and it covered a big part of the school. And so all the surrounding acreage of the school. So when the kids would come out, they could play all around. They had a good time because they saw the fence. Well, what they did is they took that fence away. And when they took that fence away and they tried that, the kids would stay really close to the school. They were scared. They didn't know where the boundaries were. So when we have boundaries, when we have structures around us, it gives us confidence, and it gives us the ability to produce more and to focus out more and not be in an intimidation or in fear. Because look, our biggest breakthroughs in anything, in life, in business, in money, in relationships, our biggest breakthrough is on the other side of our biggest fear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I was at a conference, you know, for me, one of my pivotal moments was I was at this conference and they said to write down the two biggest limiting beliefs. I didn't even know what that language mm-hmm. was at the time. And I honestly, it was the grace of God that I even got these answers, because I didn't even know where to search. But I wrote down that you cannot serve God and have money at the same time. And the second one was, I'll never have balance in my life because I'm an addictive person. And what this guy said was, wow, the truth is that the exact opposite of those beliefs is probably the truth. And so I wrote down, I remember it just came out so effortlessly. I wrote down that through having resources or money, I will learn to serve God in ways that I never would have been able to any other way. And that's not just by being generous. It's by, there's so much responsibility. And you have to grow up in so many ways when you have affluence. It's a real responsibility. It changes you. It changes the way you think. And it does it does hurt people. Some people don't do well with it, right? And so then the second one was that I would become addicted to having balance. And so one of the things that we talked about is, you know, again, this is not, I have a lot of people across the spectrum that will be listening to this podcast, but I think the things that you're saying, they're not just for people in a church, they're applicable to all people. And we talked about, 100%. You know, right now, the credit card debt's at an all-time high in America. It's crossed $1 trillion. We have inflation.
Yeah.
They're saying it's 3.8 now, but they've stripped so many things out of that number. It's way higher than that. The problem that I see every day with people is the cost of everything has gone up, but their income hasn't. And in fact, in places like California, you know, they say they're helping us out by raising minimum wage, but then the cost of everything just goes up. And so people are really in this dilemma right now, and they're starting to catch on that we really have to figure out how to do something different. And, you know, for so long, you've got these different financial thought leaders talking about a personal family budget. But I was talking with a few friends recently, like a budget's only going to take you so far. People really have to figure out ways to increase their income. And that's hard to do because people are boxed in. They're like, well, how do I do that? Do I ask for a raise? And so I know that you and I talk to people every day who have the most impossible circumstances in their life, and yet they figure out a way to do something incredible. And I would love to hear, you know, maybe some tactics for the people listening that are going to identify with that. How can they go out right now? What would be that process for them to figure out how to change their income, whether it's start a business or do something like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I get asked that quite often. And we coach on that. So the first thing is what do you want to do? You know, the big question is, what do you want? You know, I want to be a millionaire. Okay, well, let's narrow it down a little bit. How about, you know, how about getting out of, you know, how about paying off your credit cards, you know, or how about, you know, getting to where you've got an extra, you know, $2,000 a month. You've got to start with realistic expectations, Chris. You can't come in here. And I get a lot of this sometimes with, especially the young people, the young millennials or the, you know, the Gen Zs, you know, I want to have $1 billion. Well, you know, a billion number is a pretty big deal. Okay. And you just, you know, you've got to be realistic. So you got to have, first of all, you got to have realistic expectations. You got to narrow down what you want. If you're married, sit down with your spouse and maybe spend an hour, you know, each night saying, okay, what do we want? What do we want to do? What do we want to build? What kind of legacy do we want to leave? If you're a single person, you know, maybe, and if you know, go to a confidant, go get a mentor, but you've got to figure out what you want. So let's say you want a side hustle. You just want to increase your money, you know, by, you know, $30,000 a year, whatever. Okay, find it. You can do it very easily today. It's so easy. Today it's the easiest time ever on this planet here in the United States of America to make money. And the first thing you got to do is come up with a product, okay, or a service. Either one, product or service. Service is a lot easier because you're just working, okay? You're just providing a service. A product is different, but maybe you've got an invention. So come up with a product or a service, okay? Provide a service. And then what you need to do is have a business plan. You don't need to have a big fancy Wharton School of, you know, business plan. You just need to have a 90-day plan. Just break this down into simple forms, okay? Keep it simple, stupid. The KISS method. Come on, put down, all right, here's what I want to do. I want to be a handyman. I want to help out. I want to start a landscaping business. I want to sell this, you know, this widget that I made that's really interesting that helps people in, you know, do something in, you know, or maybe I want to start a YouTube channel. Whatever that is, come up with a business plan, the first 30 days, second 30 days, and the third 30 days. So you got 30, 60, 90. Reverse engineer. And here's one of the things. You can start doing this instantly on Instagram, TikTok, you know, Facebook, you know, you can get on LinkedIn, YouTube channel, do the shorts. Shorts are real popular right now. And you can start advertising and marketing. My daughter started a business at 23 years old, her own business, okay, called Lux Concierge. And she grew it to $200,000 the first year without one dime of investment. And it was just providing us, it was providing a service. And she got very creative. She went out there and found an influencer that was moving to Dallas, a big time movie star influencer. She saw that she was moving to Dallas. She DM'd the manager on the deal. He said, listen, I'll provide my service. Here's what I do. I'll give you free service for 30 days once you hit Dallas. She did it, and that they didn't give it. She didn't want a posting because she's got over a million 700,000 people follow her. But what she did is said, hey, I just want to have access. And so she got access. And in that process, she met other vendors that was doing the same thing as she did. From there, she grew her business out. Now, she worked very hard. I mean, there was like 80-hour weeks, but that's what she did. So, you know, you can, and she could have scaled that as a side hustle. So find a product, find a service, or, and then what you do is you start marketing. Do some market researches on that. Find out who's your competition and then undercut them and be more agile, right? So if you got somebody out there, it's a big marketing company, big, let's say you're really good at social media. You want to be a social media person. And there's this big firm out there that's really good, but they're very expensive and they're kind of got a bureaucracy. Come in there and find out what they charge per hour or per deal. Undercut them by 50% because you're, it's just going to be you, okay, in your camera, your phone, or doing postings or whatever. I'm just giving an example on social media. Undercut them and go out there and beat that competition. Right? Because now you found a niche or and exploit that niche. Okay. There's riches in the niches and you have to exploit that. Now this all takes work. The other thing I recommend you do is get a focus group. Get three to five of your besties and bring them in for wine, cheese, cigar, scotch night, whatever you want to do. Bring them over and say, listen, I want to show you what my deal is. I want you to blow holes in it. I want you to sink my battleship. Show them your business plan. Sometimes you might even get an investor out of that. I've had people do this and somebody says, hey, I want to start. I'll help you out with this and give you $10,000. Not saying that always happens, but at least if you're insane, they're going to let you know that you're insane. But if you've got something that works, maybe they'll let you know it works. Yeah. This is how you do it. Then the other thing is you just got to make profit. So you got the product, you got people, you got to have profit and you got marketing. And so profit, and you, all you have to do is make a little bit of money starting out. If you can make $10 per deal or $10 extra per hour or whatever it is you're getting, that's all you have to do. Then you scale it, okay? And today, Chris, it's the easiest thing in the world to scale businesses.
It totally is. That's so helpful. I mean, and it really is that simple. You know, I do see that all the time. I don't know if I told you this, but I have a friend who married our babysitter 4 years ago. He's from Switzerland. They moved back to Switzerland. This guy, he's in his 20s. He's one of the most driven young men I've ever met. And I mean, he calls me all the time. He's FaceTiming me at 5 a.m., whatever time it is in Switzerland. He's asking me what book should I be reading, what industry, and he's trying to get his green card. And so we've been talking, I've been giving him a lot of information for a few years now. So I said, hey, you should find a sales job over in Switzerland and you should try to, you know, get into a place where you can make commission. And so he gets a job. He becomes the top sales guy at the company within a year. Wow. To the point that the boss wants to fire him because he's making more than the guys that have been there 30 years. And then he calls me and he did exactly what you said. He said, I have a business plan. I'm going to quit. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You just had a baby. Send me your business plan. He said, what's a business plan? So I sent him a template. He sent it back. We went through it. Mm-hmm. And about 3 months ago, he quit and because he's already got sales lined up in America. And granted, this is also during a time he doesn't even know when he's going to get his green card, but he's planning on coming back to America and he's building an American-based business. And so about a month ago, he texts me, I got my green card. My business is doing really well. We're going to be moving there in October. And, you know, I just think this story is so important because, you know, I hear this all the time. And I heard it once this week when someone's dealing with financial problems, you know, almost every time the first words out of their mouth, when you ask them a question is, I can't blah, blah, blah. And I almost don't hear the rest. He's like, those first two words are so important. And when we see guys like this and your daughter and so many people, you know, you and I, we see the opportunity. And so the one thing I wanted to add to your list was finding people like you and finding coaches mm-hmm. and mentors. And if you see someone that's doing something great, chase them down. Like you said, with social media these days, you can get a hold of famous people that you would have never been able to 10 years ago if you DM them and you try to get on their radar. And I've heard so many stories. And in fact, this is part of my story of chasing after people who were successful until they said, "What do you want?" And saying, "Hey, I will pay you whatever it takes to take you to lunch. I will fly out there. I have 15 mm-hmm. questions for you." And those things can really change people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I call it is, when you're looking for a mentor or a coach, you know, and a coach is more deliberate. A mentor is something you're going to establish a relationship with. A coach is more accountability. It's kind of like, I refer to it, like Tom Brady, right? Greatest of all time. And he still had a coach, you know, 7 Super Bowls. But after every set of downs, he'd pull out his Microsoft laptop and look at what the coach is telling them to do. So you got to be coachable. And so you've got to submit to the process, but find a coach, find a mentor. And you're right. Find somebody that's successful. Where do they live? Are they married? Do their kids show up on Thanksgiving? Stalk them. Look at their social media. Find out what they do, what they don't do. What kind of car do they drive? These are important things. If you want what they have, right? If you want to get a taste of what they have, you've got to seek out and make sure that you validate that. And then you've got to submit to the process. I was in the Air Force, and I got out of the Air Force and moved to Dallas, Texas, and got married to this beautiful young lady. And her father coached me. He was a master, and he was hard, man. I mean, he was hard. But I knew I was being coached by a master, and I submitted to that process. And so I think that's probably, I always tell people, especially entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs got a little bravado to them, right? The one that's made a few dollars, which is good. You got to have that bravado, but you need to check your ego so you can cash that big check.
Yeah. I think, I don't know your father-in-law, but that's one of my mentors. He is tough. He is so tough. I mean, but those of us that we have him in our life, we understand the love behind it. And I mean, what he says is right. And you're right, man. Being coachable is probably one of the most valuable things someone can have right now if they're trying to change, is being willing to be wrong about how they're doing things. So Michael, let's talk a little bit about, we're talking about people being able to figure out a way right now. If someone was to look into your coaching program, what are the types of people that, are getting the benefit, and how would they find you?
Yeah. So, we did this McIntyre Business Accelerator, which we've done 3 of them so far. We're having another one in October. And they come 3 days here, and we open up our home, and we only open it to 20 people. And we spend 3 days, and we dismantle their business, and we put it back together correctly. And, that's where we found this one family out of South Dakota that came in, and, we coached them, and then we did a TV show on them. But that's one way to do it. The other way, which MBA is great. It's really good. It's not very expensive. It's 3 days of intense here. But and then we bring in, we call it our Billionaires Rolodex. I bring in my top law firm. I bring in our CPA firm, and I bring in our social media firm, our technicians, our bankers, and they have access to that. And most people don't have access to that until they spend $200 million, right? So we've got access to that, and we share that platform with them. And that in itself is fantastic for them. So we do that. And then some people bring us in. And then after the 3 days, we get them righted in their business. And then we coach them for 12 months on a once-a-month Zoom call in our Patreon channel. But the other way is one-on-one coaching, and we do a lot. Right now I'm doing about 6 people one-on-one coaching, and I got capacity for about 9, and that's pushing it. But and then I've got a whole other team of coaches too, some other business people that are really good. But a lot of people want me and Stacy, which I get that, but we are very expensive because the time is limited. So we provide an array of different budgets, but how they can get a hold of me is they can go to the website at themichaelmcintyre.com. And there's an array of things in there that they can choose from. But MBA is a great way to get in. It really is. If your business, if that's what you want in your business, if you want to accelerate your business, we took one company from South Dakota, and they were doing $1.5 million a year. They're now doing almost $4 million a year. And that was just in 18 months. And all it was is changing some things, Chris. You know, so many times people don't see, they get so deep into the forest, they can't see the trees. And that's when you have your coach come in and say, okay, let's change this play. Let's do this. Let's move this person over here. And now we did a TV show on this deal. And we went up, took our TV crew up there, and we filmed for 7 days, and we got a complete series. So, but that's just one way of doing it. And then on the coaching calls we do, we usually run 90 to 180 days and 3 months to 6 months. We do a call a week. We have assignments. We record the calls. We have them do a complete accomplishment letter and see what they really want. And we take a holistic approach. And it's really effective.
So this would be for businesses that are currently established. This isn't really a startup type of group.
Not profitable. No, we take them. The company out of South Dakota was going broke. The MBA for the McIntyre Business Accelerator, we generally have people that have revenue, doesn't mean they're profitable, 500,000 to 10 million, and all points in between. And so most of them come in, they're making a little bit of money, but they're not making a ton. And so that's why they come in, they need help. Individually coaching, we'll coach, you know, startups. I've got an artist, a famous artist right now that I'm coaching. I've got people out in Los Angeles I'm coaching that are in the movie business and in TV business and in the fashion business. So it's just a lot of different people. You know, we've done a lot. My wife and I have done a lot. We've helped a lot. And, you know, we sold our business back in 2007. And for, you know, then we started working with people and, I really enjoy it. I do. It's completely different from what I used to. But I like to be able to help people get to where they want to be financially.
Yeah. There's nothing more rewarding than seeing people's lives change. You mentioned 2007. We're kind of going a little backwards here from what I usually do, but I would love to know, cause I can't imagine you were always like this. Like what were some of the, you know, those turning points for you or those moments early on? I told you a few of mine, but I'd love to hear a little bit about how did you get here today? What were some of those moments? You talked about your encounter with Jesus, but even before that, you know, were you always in business or?
Yeah, I went in the Air Force, came from a broken family up in Michigan, and my mom and dad were divorced, and there's five kids in the family. My dad didn't want to pay it, you know, for college education. I figured I needed to get a college education. My mother was working at General Motors. She didn't have any money. So I joined the United States Air Force and I went in right out of high school and got stationed in Little Rock Air Force Base, Arkansas, in the Strategic Air Command. Went to college full time while I was in the Air Force and studied business. And this is before I knew God, but he always put me in the front seat. I was taking accounting and business class while I was in the Air Force at Arkansas State University. And the professors took a shine to me because this is back in when a lot of people didn't care about this education stuff back in the Stone Age. And so I just got favor. You know, I got my college degree about 3 months before I got discharged from the Air Force, moved to Dallas, Texas, because everybody in Michigan moved out of Texas back then, you know, or out of Michigan because the oil embargoes back in the late 70s, early 80s. So I moved to Dallas, fell in love with the city, found a job in insurance business, and I was just really good at it. Met my wife, got married in 1985, and I put my first net $1 million in the bank in probably, I guess it was 1993, 94, and just kept on building. We blew up our company and we went from one office here in Texas to 40 states and 62 offices, and $3 billion in sales. And, and then I sold the company in 2007. I was done. I was burnt out. Had made a lot of money. I wanted to go, what's next? I didn't know what was next. And then Jesus came into my life and he said, here's what's next, son. And so, as they say, the rest is history.
Oh, that's a great story, man. So what do you guys talk a little bit about Does any of the people in your group talk about investment strategies right now? That's a big thing in a big theme right now. Everyone's talking about, you know, I have money sitting in a money market. Mm-hmm. It's making 5% because of the Fed rate. What should I do with it? Yeah. I'm looking at real estate. It looks like nothing cash flows. What are some of the investment strategies that some of your people are talking about today?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I always invest in what I know. You know, I know Southwest Airlines. I bought Southwest Airlines when, you know, as soon as COVID hit, it cratered down to like $24 a share. And I bought tons of that, sold it at 40. I bought Disney back in the day when Disney was down around $45 a share. And then 9/11 happened. I bought more at $15 a share, sold it at 85, then bought it back. But what I've learned, you know, Apple was a great one, made a lot of money at Apple. And so I always tell people, invest in what you know, number one. Don't go off stock tips, they're all bogus. By the time you hear it, it's all done. And don't fall in love with the stock. Don't fall in love with the company. You know, I know Warren Buffett's buy and hold, and that's great. You know, for Warren Buffett, it's not great for me. I don't do that. It's like Dave Ramsey talks about, you know, paying off all your debt. I think that's not the way to go if you're an entrepreneur. I think you need to use debt as a leverage. But as far as investments on business, on stocks, you know, it's a rigged game, but there's ways to make money on it. I put money, I've got a day trader that helps me out, and he does pretty good. I don't put a ton of money in there, but you know, he day trades and we get about 6% per month return on that. And then I've done really well with some big companies. I like Tesla. But you know, you've got to buy the stuff on the dip. You can't buy the stuff when it's on a run, because you know, and then don't get scared. Don't play with scared money, because you'll always lose it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely another one of Warren Buffett's, you know, suggestions, is it be fearful when others are greedy, be greedy when others are fearful. So, but you know, you talk about buying the dip. I mean, you also talked about Gen Z and millennials, and there's so many people right now that have this short-term mindset, like, hey, let's go buy some Bitcoin. Let's do whatever seems like we can get a big, you know, a big upside fast. And I think the thing that's hard for people to understand is it's got to be a long-term approach, and you want to dollar cost average, which means you're buying dips. And, you know, instead of being worried when the stock market crashes, unless you're 75, which you shouldn't even have money exposed in stocks anyways, you should be excited when the stock market crashes.
Yeah. I mean, we made tons of money during COVID. And, you know, I mean, oil went to zero. It had a negative balance for a minute, right? And then there's a guy in my neighborhood that's got an oil company. And buddy called me. I called up one of my buddies that I'm invested with, good friend of mine. I said, what are you doing? He said, man, I'm buying this oil company. You know, our neighbor owns it. I said, okay. And I trust this guy because, you know, he's my lawyer and he's smart and he's tighter than a bark on the tree. And so I went in hard, man. And man, I mean, this company was at like $32 a share. Today it's at 63, you know, and just killing it. And yeah, so you got to buy in the dips. And then it did go down to 48 one time, you know, and I bought a little bit more. Cost averaging, like you said. I think Disney's a good buy. Disney right now, you know, I'd like to get a team together, buy Disney, kind of like Elon did with Twitter. Cause I think, you know, the woke stuff is really, it's really biting them pretty hard right now, which is good. I'm glad it is, but they're, you know, they've lost all like 60% of their market cap here in the last 3 years, you know, just with the garbage that they're putting out. But I still think it's got a chance to come back. Target's another one with the Pride stuff and all the children's clothes. You know, I think Budweiser is going to have to change its name. I think they're going to have that Bud Light. I think that brand is done. I don't see it bouncing back anytime soon. So I agree. I think, you know, but don't put all your eggs in one basket. As far as, you know, crypto, I've only lost money in crypto. I'm probably the only one.
No,
I don't know.
No, I lost a lot 2 years ago. And I'm so grateful it happened, because I got caught up in FOMO. Yeah. And It was the one thing I needed before I turned 40 to finally help me understand that my old, rich, gray-haired friends that are older than me, they've always been right. And I got caught, you know, and it's just part of my story. And honestly, failure's a thing. I mean, it's not required, but it can be a great teacher. Well, Michael, thank you so much for making the time. I do want to just make sure we're going to put a link to your website in the video description and in our in the various places we share this video, because there are a lot of people that we know. In fact, I don't know if you were thinking about it, Fab, but we have a friend right now who I think he's probably the next billionaire in our friend group. And, you know, I think there's so many people that would benefit from your MBA program. And so we want to make sure people can connect with you. And then for everyone else out there, we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. Please leave us a comment, leave questions. We'll make time to answer them. Like, subscribe, and download if you found value in this. And Michael, I hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you for listening to the Next Level Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share. For more resources to help you maintain your next level life, join our community at themichaelmcintyre.com.